First case, please.
First case number is 11-476, the application of Donald E. and Karen A. Radcliffe. Site is northeast of Route 298 Legion Road, being southeast corner of Joanna Drive and Stacy Drive, and being lot 34 within John Burton Manor subdivision, with a 911 address of 220 Joanne Drive, Millsboro, Delaware, with a tax map ID of District 234, map 29, parcel 863. Requesting a special use exception for a recovery home. For the benefit of the public in attendance, this application was originally heard in October and re-advertised due to an address error. It was re-advertised for this evening, and it was posted on November 5th of 2014. For the benefit of the board members, we received in the office 27 letters in support, 6 letters in opposition, and for the benefit of the record, I passed first sets of approval letters, but if you would please, and also a set of letters in opposition.
Okay.
As I said, there's 27 in support and 6 in opposition. And again, there's a request for a special use exception for a recovery home. And that's all I have unless you have questions.
Thank you, Mr. Knight.
Hopefully there's no duplication. There may be one or two, but.
Oh, okay.
You'll be able to see them. They're all signed.
Are these in the addition, Mr.?
No, they're because it was re-advertised. It's a combination of all the records.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Get a chance to look at those. Some opposition.
looking at them, they all reference, they're all referencing the same.
Mm-hmm. This is from the therapy, this is from the Baptist Church in Midway, yeah, they're all. Four churches, fine.
Going over these like this.
Yeah.
Probably missed something in there.
Oh, yeah. Well, being fair to both sides, I like to look at them and scan.
Yeah, right.
Pretty much the same.
So what you're saying, Mr. Lank, is this is the total objection, total objection in
letter
form?
Letters received or emails received in writing.
Okay.
Or up to current date.
And this is in favor?
So there's 6 in opposition, 27 in support.
Okay.
Right.
As of the hearing tonight?
As of today.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you for that.
We never really opened the other public hearing. We
okay.
Basically opened it and said we've got to re-advertise.
Okay, well, we thank you for that, Mr. Lane. Okay. We have one here. Anyone here?
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Yeah, my name is William B. Garnett. My address is 28283 Washington Street Extension, Millbrae, Delaware.
Can you wait right here? You state your name and address for the record.
Donald Radcliffe, 31795 Legion Road, Millsboro, Delaware.
Okay. Can you wait right here? State your name and address for the record.
Robert Buckley, 32172 Robin Hood's Loop, Millsboro, Delaware.
Okay. And do you three gentlemen swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
It does.
Thank you.
Excuse me, just a moment.
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to say something before we start. I know that this is, this evening looking at here, that this is probably going to be a mostly charged case, and I would respectfully request that everyone refrain from making outbursts or disturbing, whether it be the party presenting the case as well as the opposition. I will allow for everyone to have an opportunity to speak. But my reason I request is to allow the board up here the opportunity to hear everything that is presented to them. So again, I respectfully request you to do that. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Proceed, sir.
I want to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for the opportunity.
We can't hear back here.
I would like to thank you for the opportunity to present the request for a variance for 220 Joanne Drive. Yeah, I am in favor of the recovery home, such as Oxford houses and other types of houses. I offered this home to the Midway Baptist Church, who is running this program at the present time and throughout Millsboro and at several different locations over the last couple of years. That being said, I'm going to turn this over to the folks that run the program, because, you know, I offered this home to them to run this program.
You own the home.
I own the home.
You own the
home. That is correct.
All right, sir. So you're the owner. Okay.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, sir.
My name is William Garnett. I'm the director.
Make sure you speak into one mic, not both.
That way we can get it better, sir. Yes.
Can you hear the All right, we just addressed that.
We're going to, sir, if you would, you're speaking to one mic, and we'll try it again.
Okay. My name is William
Did you hear that?
William B. Garnett. I'm the director of the Recovery Through Grace Missions House. There seems to be a little confusion on what we are and what we aren't. At first, I'd like to say that we are not a company. We are not a commercial business. We do not have any products or services for sale. We are not a nursing home. And again, we have no business license. The RTG house is not a substance abuse center, halfway house, shelter, or community care facility. There's no treatment, counseling, therapy, or any type of health care service provided. There is no house manager, paid staff, or other types of institutional personnel involved in the supervision or managing of the house. The residents make all the decisions relating to the function of the RTG house, which is the Recovery Through Grace house, democratically. RTG house manages its own finances and has its own bank account. RTG house is not a halfway house, nor are a substitute for a halfway house. I'd like to address the questions now. Will the exception substantially affect adversely the use of adjacent and neighboring properties? The answer to that is no. We have no extra traffic going through the community. We have no food service trucks showing up. We don't have any deliveries. If there is people coming there, it's volunteers for the house giving the men rides to maybe to a probation or to a aftercare program. That would be volunteers, myself, with my assistant Bob back here, and that would be basically it. So there's not a major amount of traffic any more than that was there. Some of the men are on probation, but I would like to say right off the bat, the police have never, ever been called to that residence since we have been there, which has been a year and a half, all right? What the mistake might be is some of the guys are on probation. So when they first move in, probation officers accompanied by the governor's task force do show up to check on the men in the beginning, maybe 2 to 3 times a week. Okay. Plus, they go see their probation officer at least once a week. As they go through time and they're doing well, the probation officers might only come once or twice a week, maybe. You know what I mean? So, like I said, there's no police have never ever been at that at that residence since RTG has ended. Number two, are there any other requirements that are applicable to the specific exception being requested? And request is indefinite in time, no other requirements noted or currently aware of. One thing I want to make sure that's perfectly clear about the RTG is that we are not a treatment facility. It is simply an alcohol and drug-free living environment which provides an opportunity for recovering individuals to live as a family unit focused on the need to change their individual lifestyle to one absolutely free of alcohol and drug use. I'm now going to have Bob continue on.
Hello, gentlemen.
Good evening, sir.
Thank you for the opportunity. Follow up a little bit on what Bill had spoken about. To explain what the RTG Mission House is that we would all understand it, it is functionally and structurally equivalent to Oxford houses and other type of group congregate living environments. That is what the house is. It is democratically self-run, equal share of expenses that the men pay, immediate expulsion from the house with return to alcohol or drug use. So a lot of people have heard of Oxford houses and how they operate. If you want to know what is being operated in this neighborhood, it is equivalent to an Oxford house. Now, this neighborhood is zoned for single-family housing. The intent of the Congress of this country in 1988 was for the need of recovering individuals, their chances of recovery are better, and therefore of need for us in safe, supportive neighborhoods and single-family housing. Okay? And this has been addressed. According to the federal courts and the Congress of this country, the residents of recovery homes are considered to be the functional equivalent of a family for several reasons. First, all the residents have access to the entire house. Second, all residents participate equally in the housekeeping functions of the home, cooking, finances, cleaning, etc. Third, the emotional and mutual support and bonding given each resident in support of his or her recovery from drug addiction and alcoholism is the equivalent of the type of love and support received in a traditional family. And finally, the living arrangement is not profit motivated. And there's also, the main point is there's no limit to how long a man can stay. He can stay as long as he needs to stay. So for the last 15 to 20 years, these type of homes have been considered, and the men living in them, the functional equivalent of a family. So they belong in single family residential areas. Okay. I've got some papers that I'm jumping for. Bear with me.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
I get a chance.
Now, what is most important, I think, for us today is the 1988 Federal Fair Housing Amendment Act. It was passed by Congress in 1988, the amendment. And what this states is that Congress understood that one of the central problems for the establishment of group homes is baseless hostility on the part of neighbors and even local governments themselves. So it manifestly intended, therefore, to preempt state and local laws that effectuated housing discrimination. The House Judiciary Committee even stated that the FHAA, as amended, is a clear pronouncement of a national commitment to end the unnecessary exclusion of persons with handicaps from the American mainstream. It repudiates the use of stereotypes and ignorance and mandates that people with handicaps be considered as individuals. Generalized perceptions about disabilities and unfounded speculations about threats to safety are specifically rejected as grounds to justify exclusion. While state and local governments have the authority to protect safety and health and to regulate the use of land, that authority has sometimes been used to restrict the ability of individuals with handicaps to live in communities. This has been accomplished by such means as the enactment of or imposition of health, safety, or land use requirements on congregate living arrangements among non-related people with disabilities. Since these requirements are not imposed on families and groups of similar size of unrelated people, these requirements have the effect of discrimination against people with disabilities. The committee of the House intends that the prohibition against discrimination against those with handicaps apply to zoning decision and practice. This act is intended to prohibit the application of special requirements through land use regulation, restrictive covenants, and conditional or special use permits that have the effect of limiting the ability of such individuals to live in the residence of their choice. Okay. Another method of making housing unavailable to people with disabilities has been the application or enforcement of otherwise neutral rules and regulations on health, safety, and land use in a manner which discriminates against people with disabilities. Such discrimination often results from false or overprotective assumptions about the needs of handicapped people, as well as unfounded fears of difficulties about the problems that them being there may pose. These and other practices are prohibited. Now, the term handicap, handicapped, and disability are used interchangeably. The statute defines handicap to mean physical or mental impairment which substantially limits one or more of such person's major life activities, or being regarded as having such impairment, but such term does not include illegal use of or addiction to a controlled substance. When a treatment provider, this is a case from the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, when a treatment provider had attempted to rent several apartments to recovering substance abusers, the court found that persons in recovery from drug addiction were handicapped and therefore within a class protected under this statute. More recently, the same circuit court also found that the Baltimore Port Authority was in violation of both FHA and ADA when it refused to rent a birthing space to a group to operate a formal Navy hospital ship as a residential education facility for women recovering from substance abuse. So when it comes to this law here, All residents of these types of houses are considered handicapped under the 1988 amendments to the Federal Fair Housing Act. Recovering addicts and alcoholics are specifically included within the definition of handicapped individuals. The Fair Housing Act was amended to include handicapped individuals within its parameters and to guarantee the ability of these individuals to live in the residence of their choice within the community. Okay? As recovering alcoholics and addicts who cannot presently live independently or with their natural families because of their current situation, they are handicapped within the meaning of the law. Okay? And Section 3604 of the Federal Fair Housing Act provides that it shall be unlawful to discriminate in the sale or rental a dwelling to any buyer or renter because of a handicap, to discriminate against any person in the terms, conditions, or privileges of sale or rental of a dwelling because of handicap. Or for purposes of this subsection, discrimination also includes a refusal to make reasonable accommodations in rules, policies, practices, or services when such accommodations might be necessary to allow such people the equal opportunity to use and enjoy a dwelling. Subsection 3604, use of the phrase otherwise make unavailable or deny, as well as legislative history, makes clear that this section applies not only to sellers or landlords, but also to more sophisticated methods of denying housing, such as enforcing zoning or other land use laws, which have the unintended effect of denying housing to handicapped people. And finally, I'd like to address the term reasonable accommodation, if I may. The Act defines discrimination to include not only traditional discriminatory practices, but also the refusal to make reasonable accommodation in rules, policies, practices, or services when such accommodations may be necessary to afford such persons equal opportunity to use and enjoy a dwelling. In other words, these men have special needs, so we're asking for a special use exemption. We're asking for six or seven people to be allowed to live in a dwelling because that is necessary for these men to have residential housing. While localities need to do everything they don't need to do everything humanly possible to accommodate a disabled person, the reasonable accommodation imposes affirmative duties. The courts have found over and over again that reasonable accommodation includes, if there was a law in Sussex County that said no more than four people can live in one house at one time, then we would be unable to ask you to make a difference there, because that would be the law. However, there are houses throughout Sussex County, three-bedroom homes, with six or seven people living in them right now. It's all over. So it would not be a burdensome or unreasonable request to allow it here. That's what reasonable accommodation means. Some of you may be well more versed on it than I am, and my third grade explanation. And I'd like to finally end with this. To address specifically. As has been suggested, and as you're aware, there is frequently hostile citizen opposition to the location of group homes, such as Oxford houses and congregate living environments. However, I'm going to read you a few cases. In Stuart B. McKinney Foundation versus the Town of Fairfield in 1992, the court invalidated a requirement for a special exemption for the use of a two-family residence as a home for seven HIV-positive persons. Despite efforts to act quietly, the location of the house was leaked to the press, and there was a large gathering in a local firehouse and much political uproar. The trial court noted that meetings were marked by many bigoted remarks. Subsequently, the planning director sent the home a letter asking all kinds of questions, and tried to deny them the use because of public pressure. The court overturned that. There was a group home called Oxford House Evergreen versus the City of Plainfield in 1991. The mayor and other city officials led hostile responses to a group home. And the zoning administrator had first announced a permitted use, but after a city council meeting, after much opposition by the neighborhood, changed her position. The federal court found that practice intentionally discriminatory. Local regulation cannot discriminate against the handicapped, and moreover, localities must take affirmative steps to accommodate them. And unfortunately, we must steel ourselves to the opposition that these kind of places invariably attracts. To accede to political pressure growing out of ignorance and bias can lead to judicial intervention at the best, and in some cases, civil penalty. I've heard rumors. Supposedly someone died in house. What was the address someone died in?
It's 10 John Burton Drive.
Somebody died in 10 John Burton Drive, but
from an overdose.
Sir, if you want to help him, you need to come up front.
Oh,
so
I'm sorry.
No, I just told me to get on record. You use that mic, and sir, would you use this one, please?
To answer his question, there was a death in a home that was on 10 John B. Drive, which is about 200 feet from my home. It was not my home where this gentleman passed.
So I just threw a lot. I submitted all this to the public record. All of these documents and all that, in case you had an opportunity to read them or will. This is common. Federal courts have intervened on these situations over the last 15 years. There, 50 years ago, I'm about to say something inflammatory, and I apologize to all of you. I'm not making it equivalent, but 50 years ago, we heard the same things. Crime's going to go up. Our children aren't going to be safe. Our neighborhoods are going to be in trouble. When people of color tried to move into white neighborhoods. The courts invalidated then, and they invalidate it now. There is no place for that. Mr. Sharp, when he read in his introductions, ignorance, bias, and stereotype against people with disabilities will not be admitted here. So I've spoke to people, and I've tried to understand the opposition to the home, and I've heard nothing of substance other than unfounded rumors and negative comments about. We have a good group of people that live in that house. They're men that are trying to rebuild their lives. They're all sober. Mm-hmm. They've been sober for a long time. They work. They're becoming fathers again. They're the least of anyone's concerns. They're actually good neighbors. So I thank you for your time, and do you have any questions for me?
Well, let me see then, sir. Okay. Are there any questions from members of the board? And we'll start down here with you, Mr. Rickards, tonight.
Yes. I think you said the federal government considered this a family. Is that right? Somewhere
the federal
in there,
courts have ruled this a functional equivalent of a family, yes.
Mr. Like. I believe in 114-4, doesn't it say a description of what a family is?
The ordinance does have a reference to a definition of a family. It makes reference to any number of people that are related by blood or marriage, or four unrelated persons living in the same household by ordinance right now, today.
Four. Is there a specific number of four?
Four.
Four.
By
okay.
The way the code is written today.
Right. That's the number I was looking for. Thank you, Mr. Lane.
Yes.
Okay. Now, you said you've been open for a year and a half?
That's correct.
Why are you here now and not a year and a half ago?
Well, that's a valid question.
I hope so.
Yeah. What I mean is it's a question that's been asked and answered. I
can give the partial answer.
No,
is, well, my son lived in the home initially, mm-hmm. and during that period of time that he lived in the home, This did not affect. And when he moved out of the home, I was not aware of, it was my ignorance, that I did not know that we needed a special use.
Okay.
But I had been made aware of the fact that while he was in the home, it was considered his home, and that he was allowed to have anybody with him that he wished to have. Upon leaving the residence, that changed the whole picture of the home.
Okay, so you were told you were in violation by what, planning and zoning?
Or? I received a letter from planning and zoning asking questions, and we responded to those questions and came and made application to take care of the inequities of what was happening.
And is this the first time you've had response from the neighborhood of what
just a month
was going
ago
on
was the
there?
First
just
time,
month,
yes.
When this was posted?
Yes.
Okay. All right, that answers that question. Okay. How many people, again, are you saying going to be there?
I'm sorry?
What's your total number of people at one time?
Six.
Be there? Six?
That's correct.
So that would be six people at all time. In other words, you would turn that over as
the six maximum occupancy,
right,
correct. Immediate expulsion for any man who resumes alcohol or drug use, yes.
That sixth space would open up again, okay?
That's correct.
Someone. Okay.
That's correct.
So that's the total. Who oversees this? I mean, you say no one oversees it. It's a family. I understand that, but even in my family, I was the boss.
Okay. The whole program is being overseen by the Midway Baptist Church.
Okay.
With the two directors. And I also live just catechism.
They stop in?
They're there.
Yeah, give me a scenario of what's going to happen. They'll stop in. You got six guys there, right?
As was in the presentation.
Stop in once a week, twice a week?
No, they're there daily.
Daily,
because a lot of these gentlemen are not able to drive.
Okay.
They have appointments they need to be gotten to. And
Mr. Chairman, I'm not going to talk over top of that. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please, ma'am, would you please, not you, ma'am, the lady back there with the maroon jacket on, could you please keep it down so we can hear up here? Thank you.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I apologize for the
driving appointments.
Oh, yes.
You
asked about overseeing. Well, number one, they're overseen by their probation officers, but primarily by the Midway Baptist Church. And I am within 100 feet of these gentlemen ever needing anything. And they all know that they have contact with me as well as they have direct contact with either one of these gentlemen at any time of the day or night.
Okay.
And there are many volunteers who stop by the house. There are pastors who come give Bible studies.
So
they
the check up on them on a daily basis.
Regularly,
okay.
Yes.
Because, you know.
These gentlemen are tested, not only by their probation officers, but the church also tests them.
Okay.
If they even suspect anything, the gentlemen know upon coming into the home that they could be asked to be tested at any time.
Okay, what is the visitors? Are they allowed? They're allowed to have visitors, I imagine.
Sure,
it's
are.
A family. Female visitors?
No, yeah. Only men.
Only men.
Yes, only men who are in recovery.
No females.
That's
are
correct.
Allowed.
No,
on the
no children, no females.
Okay,
on the
that's the next thing I was going to ask.
On children. The president's premises at any time. Can I address your
sure.
Yeah, the code is four family is defined as four unrelated people living under roof. I already had known the answer to that. And that's common.
Yes.
However, for the finances of a place like this to work, it requires at least, in our case, six. If the finances of the place, because, you know, the men are working part-time, they contribute a fair share of expenses. But for the finances of this place to work, for this place to operate, this particular house needs six.
So we would need you'd need a variance for that also.
We
go along with it, right?
We would ask the board to make what is called a reasonable accommodation to allow us to run at six, even though the technical definition of a family is four.
Right.
We're asking for six because we can't operate at four. If we could operate at four, that would be fine, and we wouldn't be here before you today. But the unique nature of this situation requires a minimum of six.
Six.
Yes, correct. And that's why I had mentioned to you before, we're not asking you to knock down a mountain and break laws to allow this place. There are single-family dwellings throughout Sussex County with six or more people in them.
I have nine people living in my home.
Right.
Right.
Right. So that's why we're saying, you know, what we're asking, we believe to be reasonable.
But you referenced family so long, and I had to get that.
Oh, no, absolutely. No question.
Okay, let me ask you another question here.
Mm-hmm.
When you were describing the cases, mm-hmm. okay, that the federal government had come up with, and you were saying that possibly, in my mind, now maybe I got it wrong, that the special use exception will not substantially affect adversely the uses of the adjacent and neighboring properties. I think you were saying that that doesn't apply. Am I?
No, we were answering that it won't affect adversely. There's no
okay.
consumers,
so you're saying,
there's no cars, there's no.
So you are addressing our.
Absolutely.
Okay, that it will not affect, and your reasonings is all the statements you've made now.
Yeah, the house is clean, the grass is cut, it's power washed, there's.
There is supervision.
Exactly. There's no traffic coming. There's no products. There's no customers. There's no construction vehicles. There's no loud noise at night. There's, you know, it's nothing that would affect the use of the adjacent properties.
Okay.
That's correct.
And this program also has no state or federal funding to it. It is totally voluntary and supported by members of the church.
Many people in the community, you've seen a letter from the Community Resource Center. They help many of the different churches assist. There's many volunteers in the Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous community who help substantially.
You hit that. I was going to say, is AA involved?
Oh, absolutely.
And everything? Okay.
There's AA meetings at the house. Okay. There's the men are required to have sponsors who are active in either AA or NA.
A little something about that.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. I believe that's all my questions.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Rickett.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Rickett.
Who ultimately has control over the property? Midway Baptist Church, or you're still the owner?
I'm the owner, yes. I would say I would ultimately have control over the property.
Midway Baptist Church administrates
the program and upkeep of the home. That is correct.
And how is that organized for that? Is it an administrative board that...
Board of Trustees.
Yes, there is a board.
Board of Trustees.
A board of trustees.
And that's who more or less administers or...
That's correct.
...controls. Okay.
And Midway Baptist Church, Recovery Through Grace, is the signatory on the lease, so that if a man does relapse or go back to behavior, he has no landlord-tenant rights. He's immediately removed from the house. That's a requirement for homes like this to operate and function.
You stated about many of the men on parole. Are they all on parole, or are there's okay?
No, it varies at any given time.
Okay, so the ones that have been longer have.
I don't think we've had any parole. I think it's all been probation, supervised release.
Okay.
We haven't had any parole.
Sorry, that was my mistake.
Right.
Okay. And if they stay there long enough, they would get off of probation.
If they stayed at the house through their term of probation,
okay.
Sure. Right. Probation officers are quite familiar with the house. They show up regularly. They refer their own people there. That's how much they believe in it.
I don't have any other questions at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Hudson. Mr. Mills.
In the information you submitted with your application, talks about the your vision, mission, and so forth, and does it cost money to live there? Each person pays $110 a week in rent, is that correct?
Correct. That is the fair share of expenses. It hasn't changed because at the number that we run at, that covers all the expenses of the home.
And do they sign any type of rental agreement, contract, or anything?
No, they do sign a contract that basically says if you use again while here, you are immediately removed.
But no type of contract is regarding the... use of the house?
No, because that's with Midway Baptist Church.
The supervision that you say you have supervision there, is that on-site 24 hours a day?
No, that would make it a treatment center or a halfway house.
Okay, so how frequently or infrequently are they being supervised?
I'd say there are outside people at the house three times a day.
During the daytime?
Well, no, there's evening meetings at the home,
okay.
Too. There's a Monday night, a Wednesday night, and I think a Thursday or three.
Okay.
And probation officers
are there all the time. Oh, yeah.
And do you all have any type of curfew or anything for these gentlemen?
Generally, yes, but those on probation are 10 o'clock. If they work, they're allowed out, obviously, until they work. But there's nothing in a recovery environment, there's nothing happening past 10 o'clock at night. That's good.
Everybody's in by 10.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Unless they're working.
Yeah, unless they're working.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's difficult for the men to find jobs. Sometimes they have to take what they can get, but they work hard at it, and they take what they can get. It's always a stepping stone, you know.
And so you say there's no traffic, but how do they get to and from work?
Well, one of the men has a car. Sometimes they walk to the bus stop. Sometimes I provide a ride or another volunteer. Their sponsor may provide a ride. The traffic is no more than would be in a regular family house is what we're saying. There's one man has a car there. Other than that, it would be a volunteer, somebody picking somebody up or dropping them off. Sponsors stop by all the time to take them into meetings, job interviews. Bill and I spend a lot of our time taking men to, social services and job interviews and Social Security because men don't have Social Security cards, believe it or not. These are the kind of things that we have to help these men provide. And that's what we've done. But in order for us to operate financially, we need at least six. That's the problem. If we could run it four, we would.
Okay. Mr. Lank, is it through this special use exception, the number of an exception can be made as far as number of people, or would that require a variance?
No, if this approval, if it's approved, would give the commission or the board the right to set a number.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. If it's approved.
It's not a request for a number.
Okay.
Okay.
Of people.
All right, okay. Thank you.
That's a very,
yeah, that was my question.
Now, in your testimony, I've heard one of you said six and one of you said six or seven.
Well, we would ask for six. Six we can operate.
Six, yeah.
Okay.
That's the number.
We could fit a seventh. We tried that in the beginning. It's just too crowded. We're not trying to. We just have a need, which
it's
is six.
For profit.
Right. Nobody makes any money, so we don't want to. We're not running a flop house or trying to fill the couch and air mattresses and get as many people paying $110. That's not what this house is.
And this is a 3-bedroom home. Is that correct?
Yes.
Two full baths, 3-bedroom.
Okay. No other questions?
Man.
I have another question. You were operating at this facility for a year and a half, is that correct?
That's correct.
Now, at that time, you should have felt some kind of feelings in the neighborhood, okay? And what was the feedback coming back to you?
I'll be honest with you, sir, there was no feedback from the neighborhood, not that we had heard, until I received a letter from Ruth King Briggs asking about whether or not there was a program in there.
Operating.
At that time, that's when my son had lived in the home, or was living in the home.
Gotcha.
And she was notified of that.
I'm trying to establish if this all was after you. In other words, when you were you got violations out there, you were told you were in violation of
the
county?
No, I wasn't told until I received the second letter from the county.
So you heard nothing from
the
surrounding area about that?
No.
And then when you posted the sign?
Right.
Would you say that would be the time?
Yes.
But you've had no complaints there, and you know your neighbors, right? You've been there. How long have you had that house?
The home that I live in, I've been there for 36 years.
All right, so you're not a stranger.
No, sir.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair.
How long has your son been away from the home? Approximately. Months?
Yeah, it's been, in all honesty, it's probably been 11 or 12 months.
Okay. So he's lived in there within the last year?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
How long have you owned this property?
I've had contract on this property for 30 years. I took ownership of it from Mr. Burton, who owned the subdivision, I think 5 years ago is when we actually made settlement. But I had contract with him for two lots, which I do have other than that one.
Okay. Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Is this a service by septic or is on sewer?
It's serviced by septic.
And what's the capacity of the septic?
The capacity of the septic, I believe, is at 7 or 8, just like it would be for my single dwelling home.
Okay, so there's no issues with the septic if you had 6 people in the house?
It's I forget what they call it. It's underground. It's the gravity.
Gravity fed.
There's been nothing since the home has been put there. There's been no issues with it at all.
Is this operation licensed in any way by the state?
To my knowledge, it's not required to be. I do have a business license for the rental.
Any signage on the door?
No.
You said there's 3 bedrooms. There's two gentlemen per bedroom. Is that how it is?
That's correct.
Pretty close, yeah. One large room. They could probably, they needed for handicap purposes, put 3 men in the oversized room.
That's 2 per room.
But how, yeah, it is correct.
How many folks have you had live there in the past 12 months?
The past 12 months, 15 to 20. So not at one time, of course.
So you've got a fair amount of turnover.
Decent
with
amount, yes.
The tenants.
One use, one return to use of any sort. There is no, well, next time, in our experience, once a man returns to use even one time, active addiction takes over again. And the ability to not use again becomes very difficult.
You've had no law enforcement of any kind there?
Other than probation?
We usually have men in the house that are on probation. You asked about self-regulating. They're scared to death to go back to jail, so they watch the other men like hawks. If any of the other men are up to anything, they will get them removed. You know, these men aren't messing around. That's why we've had turnover, because as soon as a man starts showing that they're really not trying to do the right thing, gone.
And all the tenants are recovering addicts in alcohol or substance.
That's correct. And to be clear, when I was talking about finding that recovered alcoholics and drug addicts are considered handicapped under the law, that protection evaporates immediately upon renewal of usage. Okay, courts have even found that once they use again, they're no longer considered handicapped and under protection of no law. It's only for men in recovery.
Or women.
Of course. And that's our next people before you one day. Mm-hmm.
I want to get my head around the situation that you have, the arrangement that you have set up. Mr. Radcliffe, you own the property, correct?
I do. That is correct.
And on the application we have, it says the applicant is Mr. Garnett, who is here tonight. You've indicated that Midway Baptist Church is involved as well. Can you give, I just would like for you to get a little more clarity for the board here about how this arrangement is set up, so that I have a better handle on.
The signatory for the lease is Midway Baptist Church.
Okay.
The person at Midway Baptist Church who represents the board on the house is Mr. Garnett. That's the connection.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Does that answer your question?
That does. Thank you.
And with Oxford Houses and other type of environments, they have to be signatory on the lease to avoid landlord-tenant conflict upon expulsion. For immediate expulsion.
Okay.
Good. All right. One more time for the record. The special use exception that you're asking for, you feel will not substantially affect adversely the uses of adjacent and neighboring properties?
No.
That's correct.
By your testimony?
That's correct.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Any further questions from members of the board? Mr. Sharp, Mr. Blank?
No question.
Okay. Hearing no further questions. Are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? Have a show of hands, please. One, two, three, four. Ladies and gentlemen, next time I have to call this down, I catch someone, I'm going to ask you to leave. I will give you the same respect. Please give it to these people and the board members. It's the last time. Please keep your hands up again. Sorry for that. 16. Okay, thank you. Now, is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Okay, you can sit down up front.
Oh, here. Thank you.
Now, do we have a spokesman here for the group that's in opposition?
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I don't know if there was folks for the supporters that wanted to speak too.
Oh, is there any of the supporters here that would like to speak on behalf? I'm sorry, ma'am. Again, is there anyone here in support that would like to speak? Thank you. Okay, sir, if you would. Sir, yeah, you need to come up here, sir, and be sworn in, please.
And Mr. Chairman, what was your number on the opposition for Ms. Norwood?
14 on that.
14?
Yeah, Willie County.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Ryan Gibbs, 220 Joanne Drive, Montbello.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Now, you're in support of this application.
Yes, sir.
Okay, please state your reason, sir.
I'm a little nervous, but...
Okay.
It's okay.
I live at this house.
I'm sorry?
I live at this home.
Okay.
I'm sure that the people that don't want us to live there, you know, they have their reasoning because we're recovering addicts and we're known to have criminal records. I'm sure that's going to be brought up. But the men that live in this house with us, there's me and four others, we don't consider ourselves roommates. We don't consider ourselves friends. We consider ourselves a family. We live together, we eat together, we cook together, we clean together, everything. We're just another human being trying to get our life together so we don't get in trouble and hurt our families anymore. I just, you know, I've been in addiction for about 3 to 4 years. It's ruined my family to where they, you know, they've turned their back on me to show me hard love. So you have to get yourself together. So coming home and having nowhere to live is a struggle. But then when you have people open your doors, like Bob and Bill have for me and Mr. Radcliffe, it's given me the chance to become a better law-abiding citizen. Now, they have problems with us living there because probation comes to the house. Probation comes to the house to make sure we're doing the right thing. We have a 10 o'clock curfew to make sure we're in the house, to make sure we're not out past our curfew doing something we're not supposed to be. It's another thing over our head. And Bob and Bill are at the house every single day, checking on us, dropping us off food, making sure we need anything, taking us anywhere. I myself am very deeply involved in NA. I go to meetings 7 days a week. Okay, we're required to do 3 meetings through the house. And we're also required to get on track for a higher power since we're in recovery. Okay, it's given me the chance to meet a great pastor, go to church, and basically find a higher power that I choose to call God. This has helped me be able to turn my will over, to stop trying to do things my way, and to learn through a spiritual mentor, a sponsor, and my sponsor's family. They helped me a lot. The only reason that I can honestly say that I'm doing the right thing today is because of this house and the structure it gives me. It gives us structure and makes sure that we have a curfew, we eat, we clean, we don't just run free. Now, the traffic coming to the house, the only cars that come to the house are Bob, Bill, our family that'll give us a ride. My sponsor gives a lot of the guys a ride in the house, the pastor. It's just everybody that's involved with this house is for positive. Anything negative that comes up, one of the gentlemen, like if any of us see another man doing something negative, we don't swipe it under the rug or live in that mentality anymore. We call Bob or Bill and tell on them. We have no problem getting someone that is negative to our recovery away from us. And for this opportunity that we have to live here and to transition into the world is amazing. It helps us a lot. I mean, we have from the ages to 23 to 40 living in this house that we all consider each other brothers in this situation that we're in. And we don't, for 1 second, have the law at our house for anything negative. It's probation checking on us. It's not the cops being called on us. We're doing everything we can to become productive members of society, law-abiding citizens, and family members, fathers, sons, brothers, sisters. Mm-hmm. And I just want to thank you guys for letting me speak.
Let me ask you something. What is your day? Give us an insight on what your day is like. What do you do during the day? You get up?
I get up. I say my prayers. I call my sponsor, talk to him about what my day is going to be. I go to work. I work for my sponsor at the same time. I work for him in his establishment. I surround myself with recovery at work. Everybody I work with is in recovery. I come home, Bob and Bill. If I'm home during the day, Bob or Bill will be there during the day, drop off food, and they check on us. Like if they come in the house, it's not they come in, drop stuff off, and leave. They pull us out there. How you guys doing? Do you need anything? Anything you need to talk to us about? In that sense. But if I'm working, I go to work, I leave work, I come home, get showered, and I get ready. And all of us in the house get ready together, and we go to a meeting. See, we're required to go to our meetings for the house, our Monday night house meeting, our Bible study, our meeting at the church Sunday. But then at the same time, we don't have to go to other meetings if we don't want to. We could just say, oh, yeah, I went. But we all go. Just because we're trying This is helping us. We realize in recovery, it's not about I, it's we.
So your day is pretty structured.
Structured. It's planned out. All of us are. We don't just let someone lay around the house and do nothing. If you're in the house for the whole day, then you're picking up and cleaning. You're doing something. You're not just laying around watching TV. We don't allow that.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bill? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Again, is there anyone else that would like to speak? Sir? If there's anyone after this gentleman, I'd like for you all to come up now so we could swear you all in or get you sworn in so you could speak. So again, if there's anyone else that would like to speak, please come forward.
Can you state your name and address for the record?
Robert John, 3 Good Hope Court, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
Okay. And can you wait right here? We got another gentleman coming up.
You come on up, sir, if you would like to speak, please. Thank you.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
James Nolan, 33266 High Bush Cove, Millsboro, Delaware, pastor of Bax Community Church.
Okay. If you can come on up here, both of you can come on up for me. Do you both swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. I'm a part of the board for Midway Baptist Church, and I thought it'd be amiss if I just didn't come up and just at least address the board here. I also have the rest of the board members are here with me this evening, including two pastors from the church. And this home was originally just a ministry of Midway Baptist Church and a way to reach out to community and just one area of ministry of many that we have. And, you know, after sitting here back in October and listening to the concerns of the community and so forth, you know, our efforts are to reach out to our community in different ways. And we did go back and ponder, you know, the house and things that were there after listening to just some of the opposition last time and put that to thought and prayer and consideration and how we approached and came back this evening. But Bill Garnett, who sits down with us pretty much about monthly, I would say regularly, and then meet with him weekly. He's the one that comes by. I personally pick up checks from him, and we deposit those. We also supplement the house if the funds are not there. So let's say there's only two or three men there at a time, and we can't meet the needs of the house, then we will typically supplement that check and write that, along sometimes with donations from other churches that are involved locally and other missions or interests that are interested in the house themselves.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, and thank you for letting me come up here real brief.
You just reintroduce yourself, please.
My name's James Nolan. I'm pastor of Axe Community Church. I know how important recovery houses are. My son was a 10-year heroin addict. He went to a recovery house after treatment, and it made all the difference in the world. He's 7 years clean and sober because he had a place to go. He didn't have to go back to the place that he left, and it was really important. Many of these guys come to our church, and I've seen them grow spiritually, which is just the foundation of their recovery, and I've watched them. You know, I've watched them the first time come in, barely open their mouth and sing. And then the last few weeks, really singing and participating in the service. You know, I think it would be really a disservice to the community to have this house shut down. These guys are good men, and they're striving to do what's right.
Let me ask you, Pastor, what made your organization or your group pick that particular house?
My church doesn't have anything to do with the house.
Oh, okay.
Our church happens to be located right across the street.
Okay. Maybe.
Yeah, Midway Baptist Church is the one that's more influxed in the house.
Okay.
We have done some Bible studies there. We try to sponsor if anybody needs a sponsor. You know, our church is very unique, and we just appreciate these guys immensely.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Okay, sir?
Sir, I didn't come up.
Well, no, you have to, sir.
I don't know if he wanted to address me about the question.
I'd like to, yes. What be sworn in?
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Gary Hayden, 33050 Suburban Boulevard, Lewis, Delaware.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Of course, you heard my question. Is that right, Pastor?
No, I did not hear your question, but
the question is, I was just curious to wonder why you picked that particular area and that particular home to start your recovery program. Was it financially or closer to your church, or you knew the family was there, or whatever?
Mr. Radcliffe knew some of the dealings. We had another house that was over in Millsboro for a while.
Okay.
That James Nolan really was the director of that house for a while.
That's what I heard. That's the reason I'm asking
yes,
that question.
Yes, and so when that went, you know, they disbanded that. This house became available through Mr. Radcliffe, who knew something about it, his son, and dealing with some things there. And so he offered that. We as a church, again, it's a ministry. You know, we really don't want to disrupt this community. We've tried everything we can to hold this down, a one-strike rule. We just don't tolerate anything. We want the men to grow. We've had them in our church. We've seen them make this life-changing decisions. We've baptized them. They've become members of our church. I pastor Midway Baptist, which is on further down by Angola, but is not too far from this home. We have one of our board members and deacons is a member of the community. He lives in John B. Manor. Our deacon board is the board of directors for the house itself. We keep up with Bill, and sometimes have to subsidize financially when there's only two men or whatever that's there. Our intent is not to disrupt the community, but to hold their feet to the fire, so to speak, to really present, do everything we can to just help men get back into their life. The young man that stood up here is just, that's what we're all about, is just trying to help some young men, you know, or men in general. There's been some older ones in there as well. But just to get back on their feet, have a place where they can breathe again, start working again, get their lives together, and just go out and be an asset to the community. That's our ministry. That's what it's all about. And we want to embrace the community and do everything we can to help them as well.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Now, we're back to the opposition. Now, do we have a spokesman for the group or those that would like to speak in opposition? Please come forward at this time and be sworn in. Again.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Elizabeth J. Shepherd, 18 John B. Drive, Hillsborough, Delaware.
If you can wait right here, I'm going to swear everybody in at the same time.
John Burton Manor.
Catherine Spear, 40 Sharon Drive.
Can you spell your last name for me?
Sure, S-P-A-R-E.
Okay, thank you.
Ernst Bradley, 24 John B. Drive.
Millsboro as well?
Absolutely.
All right, thank you.
Joe Ferensky, 218 Joanne Drive.
Can you spell your last name for us?
F as in Frank, A-R-E-N-S-K-I.
Thank you.
Kenneth West, 223 Joanne Drive.
Okay.
Arthur Wooldridge, 211 Joanne Drive.
Okay. Oh, we have one more. Come on up here, ma'am.
Gino Vibona, 217 Joanne Drive.
Can you spell your last name?
It's V as in Victor, A-I, V as in Victor, O-D-A.
Thank you. Now, do you all swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you. I ask you to go one at a time, if you could, to the podium. And I recognize that some of you may have similar thoughts. There's, if we could avoid being repetitive, if that's possible, and there's no problem with saying I agree with what so-and-so said, if that's your position.
Thank you for hearing us. My name is Ernest Bradley. I live at 24 John B. Drive. I bought property in John Burton Manor in 1997, and at that time, my brother did also, and I was one of the original owners in that development. It is a private development. At the time we bought these properties,
There was a declaration of conveyance conditions and restrictions of the land of John Burton Manor, for which I have a copy of right here in my hand. And I'll give it to you gentlemen to look at if you wish.
Mr. And states, Mr. Chairman, excuse me, sir, just 1 minute. I'd like to. This board does not.
We don't enforce.
We don't enforce deed restrictions and covenants.
No, but the point is in this that people buying the properties, single family dwellings.
Okay.
This is the relevant part of this declaration.
Okay. But
okay. Does anyone want to look
just,
at it?
Just wanted to, before you know you decide to hand that over to us, just wanted to let you know we don't enforce those.
No, okay. No.
But you're free to submit that if you wish.
Pardon me?
You're free to submit that to the public
record. Yes,
if
I would
wish.
Like to submit this and
until after the hearing stuff, you won't get it back tonight. If you
submit it.
That's
okay.
Okay, I just wanted you to know, sir.
Yeah, would you like to have it now?
Yes, you could hand it down over to Mr. Lank if you would, please.
And I
thank you.
All right, thank you.
That was before the original landowner was John Burton. And eventually we had a homeowners association. For whatever reason, the homeowners association kind of more or less petered out. Other people bought the land off of John Burton. Now, whether they knew or received this declaration or not, I do not know. I do know that mathematically, with six people living in a small place as that, paying $110 a week per person comes out to an awful lot of money at the end of the year. My question would be to our RTC is, are they a nonprofit organization? Are they documented as such? And who's responsible for the taxes, fire codes, handicap ramps, etc.? There's an awful lot involved in this. And I'm sure they haven't gone through the whole thing as most of us have. There's been a lot of trouble down that house. Fortunately, I live up the far end of the street, but some of these people live right there. Mm-hmm. And they can tell you differently about things that have been said here tonight are not factual.
Okay.
Number one, the gentleman said he knew people who lived in there.
Yes, sir.
They don't know him. He doesn't know them. Most of the people in there now are all new people, have moved in there in just the last, what, couple of years maybe? Last 2 years. He doesn't know one of them. I don't know, even know if he remembers me. And I've been there since 1997. So with that being said, I'll say no more. Thank you.
Sir, let me ask you a question.
I think for the rest of the people that are in opposition that come up here, did you hear me ask the applicant, please refer to the remarks of, will this special use exception, you want to say please. It will affect substantially and affect adversely the uses of the adjacent and neighboring properties. That's what we're ruling on here. Now, direct that and convince this board that's what it's doing.
It will affect, in my opinion,
okay,
and probably any realtor's opinion, that this will affect the landowners, the property owners, and our valued properties.
Do you have anything to support that?
Yeah.
No, but to me, it's only logical.
Okay.
I've been around 72 years. I'll have to be a mathematician or a realtor to figure that out.
So in the past year and a half that they've been there, how has it affected the property values?
I really can't answer that. But people are going in there without the knowledge. New people have just moved in there. I mean, almost across the street from this place without the knowledge of people and the goings-on that have been going on there. They know nothing about it.
So when they were looking at the house, then they probably didn't notice anything different than any other house in the neighborhood?
I couldn't speak for them, but I really don't know.
Hey, that's where you have to go with this. Okay, you have to address that and convince us, like Mr. Mills said, that this is going to affect your neighborhood. And how is it going to do that?
Well, that we have
the question.
The people here. Let me say this. I'm a Christian myself. I've been chairman of the board of directors. I'm an elder and everything else in my church. It has nothing to do with people living there who have addictions. Nothing whatsoever. This is about what people are buying properties under the assumption that single-family dwellings and the effect that this house would bring our property values down. That's the only thing I can say. And like I say, and I'll reiterate, it has nothing to do with addictions because in my family itself, there's plenty of them that have problems.
Now, you heard earlier testimony, the federal government's interpretation of a family. And there are many different interpretations. So, what are you, when you say single family dwellings, are you talking to husband, wife, and children?
Husband, wife, and children, or their grandchildren, et cetera, as needed.
Okay. So
that is.
So not necessarily the federal government's family's right. Interpretation. Okay. The question, and let me suggest to everyone here in opposition, the question before the board is, does this use or will this use substantially affect adversely the uses of neighboring and adjacent properties? That's what we, unless you have a real estate appraiser that can tell us that it would have an adverse effect or whatever, we need to hear from you. How will it have a substantial adverse effect?
Any other question, gentlemen? Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Good evening.
Good evening, ma'am.
Nice to see you guys again.
You too,
hey, ma'am. If you could just reintroduce yourself.
I'm Elizabeth Shepherd.
Thank you.
And I live at John Burton Manor.
All right.
This issue goes all the way back to July 5th of 2013, when the gentleman's not here that I talked to. I rode right around the development. They all know who I am. And I said, oh, you're just moving in. He says, no, I'm a sponsor for the recovery house. I said, oh, well, how many you got living in there? At the time, he said 9. Gave me his business card. Mm-hmm. I belong to the Indian River Firehouse Ladies Auxiliary. Ruth Briggs King was there that night. I gave her the business card. I have emails back and forth from Ruth Briggs King, Legislator Hall, from Margaret Dean Moore, dated all the way back, emails back and forth from May of 2013. Just last week, I also belong to the American Legion. I hold 2 posts at the American Legion on Route 24. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Radcliffe's prior tenant, I was talking to her, and she asked me how things were going in the neighborhood. And I said, we have a lot of new people moving in. We've had about 10 to 12 new homes. 4 people are here tonight. I can speak for them, but they can speak for themselves. They would have never bought into the development. That's the first issue where it started. A couple of neighbors have tried to put their house on the market, and it's not moving. Not only 220 Joanne Drive, number 10, I lost my 10 John B. Drive. It used to be a 3-ring circus in there. House on the corner, which everyone knows, on Legion Road. We've tried to get shut down. We're here 30 days. It's actually a crack house. They would come from that house to 220 Joanne Drive, 210, John Burton, John B. Drive. Neighbors, you know, we all know, you know, Ruth Brinks King was supposed to give me a police report of how many police activity have been there. There was an overdose maybe 6 weeks ago. One of the neighbors can testify they saw that ambulance come.
At
220 Joanne Drive, yes.
Their house?
Yes.
You said something about police reports. Do you have those police reports?
No, Ruth Brinks King never got back with me, and I call her, and, you know, like everyone else, you know.
How do you respond to the federal government saying
hearsay
that police reports do not come into the federal recovery?
And then getting back to the federal government, I did talk to someone. I have all my paperwork, some of it here. Mm-hmm. The dwelling, if it's a family, it could be uncles and cousins. When you have different people, it's not considered a dwelling for different people. I happened to drive through today. It was a beautiful day, seeing what was going on, and did notice a female drive up, hand something to one of the two gentlemen in the back. Sometimes cars don't leave all day. I have, you know, you can call me a newsy body, but this is my development. When I bought in here 7 years ago, I'm raising a great niece I have custody of. I wanted a safe environment where I can look out and see her ride around in my circle and be able to do it, as well as everyone else that has children and grandchildren living in this development.
Right. Okay. Have you stopped any activity, your normal activities, because of this home?
Well, Mr. Radcliffe does not live in John Burton Manor. So,
I mean, have you? You live in the neighborhood,
yes,
right?
Yes, I do. I lived there 7 years.
Since you knew this home was there, recovery home was there, have you stopped any? You're not letting the kids out because of, or?
Well, right now, my great niece is 15 and a half, but right now, everybody keeps their, you know, they're either walking with their children. And
so you're going where we want you to go if you've got a problem. The problem is it is affecting.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Because
we've had numerous burglars, not even with the children in the neighborhood, with the activity that goes on in there. We've had numerous burglaries within the last 6 months.
Yeah, you've changed your way of life, have you, because of that?
Change what? I ride around my development frequently to see what's going on in the house.
Because of that house?
Two or three times a day, yes. Because as well as everyone else in my neighborhood, yes. I want to make sure that, you know.
What about the rest of the homes in your development? Do you also inquire about what's going on in their homes? Do you check the sexual offenders because of your niece? Do you check your sexual offenders?
Yes, we do. Yes. I have an alert with the sex offenders. We had thought that there was one living in the Legion Road, that house. None comes up here. My question is, they say they come and go. How many has come and go in the last year?
He said that.
He said 15.
15?
He said that in the last year, there were 15 people that had come through that.
Through there. Sir, I'll give you a chance. Please, I'm not going to ask no more.
15 in a year, and they say they need.
The next time I have to call anybody down, I'm going to ask them to leave the room. We need the respect, and I will give everybody a chance. Now, please, I've been very lenient. Thank you. Now, proceed.
Well, if they say they have six living in there, they just brought two more in 3 weeks ago. And what happens in 2 weeks from now, those five out of the six, then five more are coming in. What is the longest span that someone's lived there?
Well, according to the testimony we heard, it's when they feel that they've are capable of going out in society without support and help.
The figures don't add up. If there was only 15 in the last year, how are they running this place? And, you know.
But we also heard testimony that at times there might be only two or three, and the church has to provide finances to help support the.
Well, I was told at our last, when we had the meeting in October.
I'm going based on what testimony we've heard tonight.
The one gentleman told me it was funded by the state of Delaware.
Well, we heard testimony tonight that it wasn't.
Okay. Well, I'm speaking on some of them, and most of my neighbors here. We just don't want it, and we think he did a sneaky thing by having it in there. and he thought he was going to get away with it, and I guess he thought nobody was going to know. Okay. If he wants it, let him put it in his house with the rest of, you know.
Are you speaking to Mr. Radcliffe?
I'm talking to Mr. Radcliffe.
I understand this is his house.
It's his house, but he doesn't live in John Burton Manor.
Right, okay.
He lives on Legion Road.
Okay.
Mrs. Shepherd, do you, you stated that you you know what's going on in your community. Are there any homes in the in your community that you would say that people are doing things they shouldn't be doing?
Yes. The gentleman, and this is only hearsay, but one lady here did tell me, the gentleman from that house walk up and go to the house across the street from her, and they're in there a couple times a day, back and forth, back and forth. And this is one reason.
Is that lady here could testify to that?
Yes, she is.
She's
yes. Yes, she's here.
And she's seen them do that?
Yes.
Okay. No, no documentation. But just to her.
What is it? I'm not sure what you're meaning by that. Do you go to visit your neighbors back at any given time?
Some of the neighbors are only here 2 months to 6 months. I know every one of them because I make it a point to stop, and they have all told me I would have never moved into this development.
And that's not my question. My question is, you said there was a particular incident.
I'm going to say it, drug activities, yeah.
So you know for a fact it's drug activity.
How do you know that?
This is at a house.
No. What you said? I'm sorry. What you said was that they, you know, there was activity, whereas a person from this home went across the street to another home back and forth. Do your neighbors not visit one another and go from neighbor?
Not the one house that I'm talking about.
I'm talking about any houses in the neighborhood. I know in my neighborhood, I go to my neighbor's house and they come to my house, and then maybe sometimes three or four times a day. I don't understand what's unusual about that.
Because why would these people know these people if these people are coming from probation and there's teenagers living in another house?
Maybe they invite
and they're females?
Okay.
I mean, I wouldn't be going to his house if his wife wasn't home, and you wouldn't be coming to my house.
Ma'am, I guess question that we keep going back to
is
the visits that you're referencing here. How is that a substantial adverse effect on neighboring and adjacent properties?
Right. Because my nerves are so bad right now, I can't even answer it. Yeah.
That's fine. No, I mean, you can take your time.
What was the question again?
The standard that we have as a board is whether or not the use will substantially affect adversely the uses of neighboring and adjacent properties.
Yes.
So what you referenced was that there's folks going from the house to the neighbor several times a day, back and forth. And the question that I pose is, how is that a substantial adverse effect on neighboring and adjacent properties? And if you can elaborate on it, I'd appreciate it.
I don't know how to answer it. I don't. Yeah.
That's
my
fine.
Nerves are like past shot here.
Take your time, ma'am. We'll help you what we can. Just
I know.
In layman's language, how do you feel that is? Like if I'm the gentleman at the house and you're the lady across the street. So if I go come and see you back and forth, and that lady there is going to be playing you though, okay? Now how does she know that you didn't invite me over for something to talk to me? You know, you're a Christian lady. I've heard you say it when that gentleman did, but how do you know what's going on? You see me, this lady sees me walking over there. How does she know what I'm doing?
Because I'm close with my neighbors.
No, I know. But how does she? All right, but she's just looking and seeing me walking over there. How does she know what I'm going over there for? Did you invite me to come over? Did I come over to know that you were, maybe I could help? I'm trying to get my life turned around. But, you know, you're sitting there saying, well, they're going back and forth. I'm having trouble wrapping my mind around it, is visiting or what you're saying. She just sees me walking, but she don't know what I'm carrying. I don't want, you know, have I hurt you? You see me going all more times in the week, maybe once or twice. That's not going to substantially adversely affect the neighborhood. By me visiting you, that's hearsay, and it's inadmissible. She's just saying, I see John Doe walking over to Mary's house, but you see me coming back, but what am I doing? What have you got to support that it's going to substantially affect
my
the neighborhood?
My support is because the house at 10 John B. Drive was known as a drug house. and there was an overdose, and they didn't take.
Okay.
People would see them go from this house to 220 Joanne Drive. Okay. The new people at 220 Joanne, two gentlemen,
right,
would go down to this new person that just moved in. Two different sets of people. There's two teenagers living there with a mother, and these are recovery, drug and alcohol.
Right.
What purpose would they have going to see?
That's my question, but how did we know what they were doing? Did anybody see it?
I guess we surmise what they're doing.
No, ma'am. No, okay. I'm not saying. I'm trying to be honest and be fair.
I don't know what they were doing.
No, but I mean, that's where we've got to have something to support. I mean, they go down there, but did anybody see them doing anything? To make the cake, I got to have
something to go by. Well, can I say that the neighbors have seen them smoking pot out there, and they can smell it?
I mean, it would help to see them. I see them do A, B, and C, but I just see them walk down the street, and then they walk home. But what, was they carrying anything? Did anybody get hurt? Was the police called? Was there anybody breaking in? Did anybody hear that after they went and visited? That's all I'm doing. No. You got to help us, ma'am, to be able to
help you. I wasn't there,
you.
So I can't get by that.
So then it's a hearsay case that they've seen walking down the street.
But the person is here tonight.
No, and I'm not saying, okay, I'm going to ask them the same thing, though. What did they see? They walked down and they walked back. That's all I'm trying to do,
ma'am. Well, can we go back to how many people have been in and out? You're saying 15.
Yes, ma'am. That's gone through there. That has
15 in 1 year going in and out.
15 to 20,
the gentleman said. I've got it. Yeah, let me look at my notes. He said.
Do they keep a log of it?
Apparently.
Well, we have to ask them that, ma'am. We'll get a chance to rebuttal. You ask us the questions that you would like to get from them, and one of the members here will ask the gentleman out there again, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do our best, ma'am, to answer your question.
And if
your
they come from probation and parole, so they're coming out of jail?
Counsel, can you help maybe a little bit on that?
That may be a better question to ask the applicant.
Okay.
And if, and those kind of things, if you want to know, we can pose those questions.
We want to know who's living in there. Every week or every 2 weeks, we see somebody different.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll
we
answer
don't
those questions.
Feel safe. I don't feel safe. I'm saying to myself, I don't feel safe.
Okay.
And I'm going to be honest. My house will be up on the market, and if I can't sell it, then
because
I'm out of there.
Right. Shepherd.
I'm out of there.
Mr. Shepherd, do you feel safe with every new neighbor?
Pardon?
Do you feel safe with every new neighbor?
Not now. No, I don't.
No, I mean before this
house. Before this house, did you feel safe with all your neighbors before this house?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Every new neighbor.
Every new neighbor. Not the ones you're in there now, but every new neighbor came in. Did you feel safe?
I have been invited in every new neighbor's home.
Okay, good.
In the last 2 months, 2 to 3 months.
Okay, good. Thank you.
My name is Cannon West, and I live at 223 Joanne Drive, right across from the cul-de-sac from the house in question. First of all, there has been women there. I have the dates, 11-9, 11-19, and 11-28. There has been women there. So that's a false. First of all, Mr. Radcliffe has been using the house for a recovery house since I moved in on August 3rd, 2014. And my neighbors tell me it has been longer than that. Okay? He is using this house with no regard to Sussex County laws and Delaware state laws. During this period, there has been numerous law enforcement officers at the house and also a drug overdose. In the house, there is the lack of any supervision, therefore it is like the fox watching the hen house, which includes drugs and alcohol that we've seen go in there. They've carried alcohol in there, and they've sat on the two chairs out front drinking beers during the summer. If I would have known this, I would not have purchased a lot in John Burton Manor, which was presented to me as a residential community. This is a residential community, and our property values will drop immediately if this is passed. Therefore, I am requesting the board to vote against this request. And that's all I have to say.
Let me ask you a question, sir.
Yes.
You said that, and I keep hearing people tell me that they know that this has been going on a year and a half ago. Do you know that?
Well, it probably has been, but I didn't know it, or I would have never bought in there.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah, go ahead.
Did your neighbors tell you that this has been going on a year and a half ago?
They're all new neighbors.
They're all new neighbors?
I've only been there since August 3rd, and there's a lot of these people have moved in since I moved in.
So this is all started not a year and a half ago. It's all started since you all moved in.
Right.
Since August.
You all noticed that this was going on.
Yes, absolutely.
And the rest of the neighbors didn't know any of this before?
Not before.
No, they didn't?
Not that I know of.
Nothing was happening in that year and a half that you just
told me was happening. I misunderstood you.
Nothing was happening before 2014.
Yes, it was.
Oh, okay. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Yes, I misunderstood you. I'm sorry.
Tell me what things were happening before that. Same things that are happening
Now? Same things that are happening now. The traffic, the in and out of the house with no regard to anybody else.
Did you call anyone to correct that situation?
No, I haven't.
Did any of your neighbors?
I'm not aware of that.
Okay. You just waited till
To the meeting.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I'm done unless there's any further questions from the board.
For this gentleman, from anyone?
No.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am?
My name's Catherine Spare. I live at 40 Sharon Drive. It's just up the street. I moved in September 20th. So
this year?
Yes.
Okay,
so I was not aware of any of this until Elizabeth came to show us the, the yellow sign that was outside of 220. I also have a three-year-old son who, up until October 6th, when Elizabeth came to our house, I was under the impression we were in a safe community. I let him play outside. And then slowly I started noticing people walk next to our house. There's a little vacant lot, and there's a, you can get a pathway to the Walgreens and the shopping centers. And I noticed odd people walking there. You know, they just didn't seem like they were from the neighborhood that I'd noticed from driving around and walking with my son.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, well, that's really strange. I wonder where they're coming from. So I watched them, and they would go back and forth to 220. I do have in my vehicle tonight about 75 beer cans that my husband and I watched two of those men drinking in those woods next to my house.
The people in this house?
Yes.
From this house?
Yes, from this house. We watched them go back to this house after they were done. Left all the beer cans just sprawled out on this lot next to us. So my husband and I went and picked them all up. There's like 70 some of them. I don't feel safe with my son outside anymore. I walk him everywhere he goes. I'm right next to him, you know, and when I first moved in, I'm like, oh, this is awesome. This neighborhood's great. It's quiet. There's no traffic. Now there's cars coming and going all the way down at the bottom of the street. I can't even let my son ride his bike because 15 to 20 people, even six at a time, I mean, how many, they all have different probation officers, different sponsors. Mm-hmm. So you have that many different people coming in and out every single day.
Right.
I don't see how that couldn't affect the neighborhood. I mean,
all right, you're addressing how it affects the neighborhood. That's
right.
What we're getting at.
That's
good.
What we're getting at, man.
Right.
Thank
what
you.
We're trying to get.
I mean, it's you notice it as soon as you walk in. I mean, we looked at the house twice. Both times were on a weekend, so maybe they didn't have meetings. But we came from Pennsylvania, so we were, you know, my grandfather lived in Sherwood Forest, which is the division right next to it.
Mm-hmm.
No issues, no problems,
right.
No nothing. We said, okay, this is a safe, great neighborhood for our son. Mm-hmm. Now I don't feel safe anymore with him in that neighborhood.
Okay.
And I have numerous family members that are recovering drug and alcoholics, and I know what it's like. I see them.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think that it's safe for them to be in our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's bad for the community.
Right.
So you've been there 2.5 months?
Yes.
And you've seen that much of an increase since,
yes.
What, September?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, literally, like, the week after we moved in, I mean, we were going back and forth to PA every couple days to bring our stuff down, but as soon as we got settled, I mean, we noticed the foot traffic going back and forth to that, to the shopping centers, and then all
so
the
you noticed this yourself. You, no one
yes.
put
no.
this in your head.
You know, no, I noticed
so
it myself
ten,
every
so
day.
So in 10 days' time, you bought the 20th of September,
yep.
And you got everything moved in. September the 26th,
yep.
And 9 days later, this lady here came to you, and she informed you of all this?
Yes, and I said, well, that makes perfect sense, because now I understand
why
these people...
Why is this happening?
Right, and why they're all going to that one house.
Okay. That's what I was trying to establish, yeah. Man. That's right. And I know the other lady would get a little upset or thought with me, but we, that's what we need to know.
Right.
Okay, and I appreciate that.
And I do smell weed as, you know, people are going back and forth walking.
You do smell?
I smell it. There's definitely not a skunk. Yes, from the walkway.
Well, from this walkway to go across?
Yeah, it's like, it looks like a little field. It's like right in the cul-de-sac. So I'm on one side, there's a lady on the other, and then the middle's empty.
Okay.
So, and then there's, you know, like a path that goes through. And I know it's them because I see that I look out my door and I can see them walk right to the house. And my dogs go nuts every time they see them walk by.
So you feel that it really will substantially affect adversely the neighborhood. That's what it's doing.
Yes, it is. I picked up 75 beer cans today that are in my car just to bring as proof.
Okay.
Ma'am.
That was not fun.
Can you, I've got the tax map. If you could come up.
Sure.
I want to get a feel for where this pathway is.
Mm-hmm.
Where, can you just show me on here where it is?
Okay, so I'm 860.
Okay.
Okay, so the pathway is right here in between.
Okay.
Or it might even be 850.
All right. Gentlemen, what Ms. Spare has shown me is that it's between 860 and 859. There's a check mark on it, so I think it's 859.
Okay, yeah.
It looks like it's on that border there. Out of the cul-de-sac leading to Legion Road. Is that right?
24.
Oh, it goes to 24.
Wait, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the long road.
Okay. Oh, this is Legion Road here on the tax map.
We are Sharon. So where's
Sharon? Sharon's up here.
Okay, then you don't have it.
Oh, okay.
So it's right up here in the corner.
Okay.
So they walk from here, and they come up Joanne, and then they cross over that way.
Okay, so.
Sorry, it's a different circle.
Okay. We're looking at a different tax map then, gentlemen.
Okay.
It's not showing on this one. So, okay.
Yeah, it's right in the top. I don't know if it's vacant, like if somebody owns it. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Sir, if you can either step to the mic or...
If you want to help her out, we'd appreciate it. Just come to the mic.
Sure.
Where she's talking about, I know it because we've seen that traffic coming through. I don't know who it was or whatever. I didn't see all that, but a lot more traffic. But there's a fence that's there. It separates the townhouses that are there from the development. Well, they cut a hole through it on the side. If I'm facing the townhouses, it would be from the left-hand side, and they come up that way and come up Joanne Drive.
Okay,
is what you say?
Yes.
Am I correct?
We really
don't want to really see what you look like. We have to get up and talk into the microphone.
No,
I
knew what she was talking about.
Okay.
All right. Sir, can you just identify yourself so we have it?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm Joe Ferensky. I'm Joe Ferensky.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Everything's taped, see, so you have to.
And it's tough for a court reporter later to figure out who says what, so.
Okay. All right,
so
ma'am.
That was all I had to say.
Why, thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Okay, now.
Can I briefly, I forgot her name. I didn't directly go to the homes. I went to pass out a copy of the letter so that everyone was aware of the meeting. Some people might not go around the whole circle, and some people might not see it. That's the reason. I just didn't go there to say, you know, I went and I passed out to everyone in the neighborhood.
But did you explain to her what the letter was you were there for?
Yes, I did.
So she didn't know anything about it until you told her.
Yes.
That's the question.
Well, I don't know if she saw the big yellow sign down there.
No, she said that, and you just confirmed it, because I asked her, did you tell her? She said, yeah, she wasn't aware of it, because she'd only been, she bought it the 20th, she got all her stuff and got back in September the 27th, and you were there on October, so you were there 6 days later. So how did she see all that in 6 days? A year and a half back. You see the point I'm trying to establish?
Yeah.
So she knew in 6 days everything happened for a year and a half. That's why I asked you in a nice way, ma'am. I didn't mean, if I upset you, I didn't mean it. But I'm trying to get the pattern established.
Yeah.
How does somebody, the gentleman moved in here 3 months ago, he knows what happened a year and a half ago, but how did he know? Okay? You see what I'm saying? There's no documentation.
Yeah.
No, okay, but we needed that kind of stuff. That's, ma'am, that's the only thing I was trying to do. I wasn't trying to, no way was I trying to do that. I respect you and everyone here. But bear in mind, the job that we have, believe me, everybody gets the same fairness. We try to do that. But again, if somebody's moved here 2 weeks and they've seen all this stuff in a year and a half, it's hard for me to wrap around that. Somebody here 4 months and they know it. Now, that other gentleman has been here for 12 years. Now, I can understand that gentleman sitting back there, that No, I can understand
I actually
that.
Bought his old home, so, I mean,
oh, I don't know,
yeah.
But I mean, but, see, but I can, his position, I can understand more.
It's
but
a development
mind,
where we want to welcome the new people. I mean,
I hope so.
Some of them don't know each other, and I'm welcoming every one of them into the neighborhood, and
I commend you on that, but I'm just trying to find out how this lady, in 6 days, knew a year and a half, all this information. Okay,
do you
so
need
she didn't really
my
see it.
Copies of from Ruth Briggs King from That's 2013?
If you want to submit those to the record, you may do so. That's okay. Your decision.
Thank you, ma'am. I'm hoping now that we're back. Yes, ma'am, I want you to get settled. All right,
good evening. My name's Lenny Wooldridge. I live at 211 Joanne Drive. I've lived here 3 months. I've been coming down. We had our modular placed.
Mm-hmm.
We've been driving back and forth for 6 months prior to that, checking on it.
Mm-hmm.
We have noticed a lot of activity at the cul-de-sac. Now that I've moved in, there's so much foot traffic going towards that apartment building that's unbelievable.
So they're in the woods, they're in the apartments, they're in the people's backyards?
No. The woods is off to the apartments. The townhouses that they described earlier,
yeah.
There's a lot of foot traffic. I've seen cars going down there, turning around that cul-de-sac, parking there for a while, and then leaving and not leave the development.
Okay, so you're saying they're going into that 220, the home?
They're coming from that and coming around to the apartment where the woods is.
Okay.
They stop. They don't move for a long time. I can see it. They'll leave. Then no sooner or later, another car will come back. I mean, this is before I was even told that house was there. And I notice a lot of traffic in that cul-de-sac at 220. A lot. And there's so much foot traffic from there to that apartment in that wooded area. Unbelievable.
Okay.
And my fiance and I feel it's not a safe area. I have grandsons. She has grandchildren, too. That if my grandchildren, when they come down, we will be right there, right with them, knowing what's going on there.
Would you make the statement that because of this home, the recovery home, that it's not a safe neighborhood? Is that what you're saying to me?
Definitely.
So it will,
you can't change my mind about that.
It will substantially affect the adversely uses of the neighborhood because?
Yes, definitely.
That's in a period of 3 months.
Huh?
And you've been there 3 months?
3 months.
3 months.
But I've been driving up and down for 6 months while our house was being placed. My fiance and I noticed immediately something was going on at 220 Joanne Drive. No one had to tell us this. We saw it.
Now, that's when you first come down or after you come down those 6 months? When did you first notice it? The beginning of your time down here or the last 6 months?
When our house was being set,
right,
was in May, we came down and we noticed within a month or two, coming down 3 times a week,
right,
that there was a lot of congestion and something going on in that circle.
And how far are you from this house? How far is your mobile from this house, this 220?
My trailer?
Yeah, how far are you from it?
Midway down Joanne Drive.
Midway?
Okay. Midway. Yeah, half a block, six houses.
Six houses, okay, thank you.
But I do see a lot of foot traffic. You know, I'm even to the point now, I'm thinking about videotaping the front of my house. That's how I feel.
Okay.
And I'm the type of person that would.
Right.
But I can't have our grandkids come down and feel safe without walking them hand in hand down the street. Like many other homeowners.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wouldn't dare turn If I had small kids, I would not let them go around knowing what I've seen so far. Mm-hmm. And I'm an elderly gentleman, but I still want to protect my fiance and myself, but most likely her, I want her protected.
Well, that's
if something goes on.
That's the state police's job. We're trying to...
Oh, I know that. I know that. I don't mean to bring that up.
No, that's not true.
But you want to live in a neighborhood...
We're trying to establish again why it's going to affect the neighborhood, and of course you've addressed that by saying your fear of walking, that this recovery home is going to... has been affecting your neighborhood in that way.
Definitely. Okay. Not just me, but all of our neighbors.
Okay, they've all stated that.
That have small kids. I just feel horrible seeing any kids walk around the neighborhood with what's going on.
Okay.
And I don't have any little kids, but if I did, it would be a different story. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next, please. All right, Joe.
I'm Joe Ferensky, okay? I'm confused, okay? Is this a recovery house? Is it an Oxford house? Is it a shelter? What is it? Because I'm getting different definitions of it, and I've worked at a homeless veterans for 25 years.
Well, they say it's for alcoholism, for any kind of recovery.
Right.
Okay?
What is the recidivism rate? Okay, what is the turnover for the people that are for the men that are staying there?
We asked those questions. Did you hear him?
He said, yeah. He said 15. I live right there.
Yeah, 15 to 20 have passed through there. That's
yeah. Long, well, there's been when he first put the house there, his daughter-in-law lived in there. There was nothing but drug activity. I talked to him about it. He did take care of it eventually. But she was in there, I'm guessing, a year or so.
Mm-hmm.
The house that a lot of people refer to is right across. There's a pond there, a drainage area there. That's the house that I think you were talking about there. Right up on Legion Road, there's a drug house. Now, whether these guys go in there or not, I can't say. I don't know, and I won't, go saying anything on them. But I've seen a number of turnaround in that house. And it's been more than 20, okay? The question is, when you say something to somebody and you ask them a question about it, there's no definition of it. There's no record keeping that's going on with it. How do you take payment? Is it by check? Then there should be documentation. There should be receipts that are paid out. Once it becomes you're paying into it, then it becomes like an apartment thing or whatever. But when it keeps turning around, you're paying $110 a week. Boom, next time another guy. Some of the guys, I haven't seen them yet. I've seen some of these guys, yeah. And fine, they've not given me no trouble. I can't say that and I won't say that. But my point is, what the hell is the place? What is it? You know what I mean? There should be supervision of some type in there. There should be in-house supervision on it 24 hours a day.
Now, that's right. Now, we did ask them what supervision was. They did tell us exactly what, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're addressing the 24-hour supervision.
Yeah, is it a residential? Is it a treatment?
You're objecting to that.
We're using the definition, or they were attempting to use the definition of handicap. Substance abuse is not considered handicap. Social Security pulled funding for substance abuse. Okay? I'm also an addictions therapist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we started homes, and I could tell you a number of homes that I worked on and I wrote programs for, there was things that were in place. Community support was one of the main things that went into place first, especially when you're talking Sussex County.
Yeah, but Sussex County. This is not subsidized by Sussex County or the government.
I know it's not, but you're asking to change the rules on this house to do a variance? That's not changing it?
Not a variance.
No, we're not doing a variance.
Special use exception.
Special use exemption.
Yes, sir. So
okay.
That's the difference, sir.
Then if you're going to do a special use exemption, what is the definition for? What is the house for? Okay. One time it's a recovery house. Next time it's a family. I don't understand this. Nobody's made it clear to me. If somebody could make it clear to me, I wouldn't go in here and raise hell.
Listen to me a minute. Maybe I can help you out.
Okay.
Their testimony was that it's like a family.
Okay.
All right? Okay. And you heard me ask Mr. Lank, or secretary, what constitutes a family? And he said four. Okay. So what we're looking at now is that you're saying, why are we saying it's a family? Well, it's not. It's a recovering house that acts like a family, and we want these people to feel like they're family.
Okay. Who's okay. Mom and pop?
Oh, well, I don't know that.
I mean, you know, this is the whole thing. We can bend words. We can bend terminology, sure. And I understand that, okay? I worked with drug addicts for a lot of years. I worked with alcoholics for a lot of years. If you look at some of the programs that are out there, I worked on some of those. The Home of the Brave, for instance. That's one of my first ones that I worked on, okay? The McVets program in Baltimore. Now, where are these guys coming from? What state are they from? Mm-hmm. Nobody's asked that question. Supporting people from the state of Delaware and assisting with them? That's fine, okay? But darn it, you get community support first. Before you go popping something into a residential area, you don't change the rules and say, well, it's a recovery. Oh, no, it's not a recovery house. It's a sober house for Lake Family. They're saying it's an Oxford house, but it's not an Oxford house. Okay? It's not a halfway house. What's the length of sobriety of the guys that are going into this program? 1 week? 2 weeks? I kind of feel a little scared about somebody 1 week, 2 weeks in recovery. That's not recovery. That's still detox. Ask anybody in the field. Mm-hmm. So it becomes threatening. People with children. You know, what kind of charges are on the guys that are moving into the house? Are there sex offenders? Are there violent offenders? Okay. Has there been murderers there? What type of offenses are these guys coming out for? Mm-hmm. And moving into an area like this when you have children around. Mr. Ratliff, I believe you have a house.
I have seven children.
Sir,
seven children.
Sir, please address the board. We'll address
okay.
him.
Seven children in the home up there, okay? And they're not all Mr. Ratliff's children, are they? I don't know. That's why I turned to ask him.
We don't ask him that, sir. You're
okay.
Addressed to the board, so
all right.
We can.
They're
thank
in
you.
There, okay? And are they state subsidized? That's fine. And God bless him for doing that type of thing. But that house that's there has been a thorn in my side since he built that house when his daughter-in-law moved in there, okay? Nothing. I seen it. I watched it firsthand. Called the cops, complained. They investigated. They busted the house on the corner for crack. They busted the other guy across the way from me. You know what I mean? I got my issues.
So the bottom line of what you've done, you've presented a good case, is you feel it substantially affects the neighborhood for everything you've just said, that they haven't fully explained to you what the house is going to be and all the other things that you had reported
sir.
In it.
And okay. I had a debate with one of the gentlemen after the fact.
To hear. That's what the board wants
after,
to hear.
After last week's meeting, we were out front having a civil discussion and talking about it, okay? And nothing was defined
okay.
to make clear mm-hmm. to where I understood. I say I always use this. I'm a dumb Pollock. You got to explain it to me three times. I'm just, you know the deal, man.
They will have rebuttal to that.
I'll allow my opportunity for that.
That's fine. That's what I'm saying.
If you ask us the questions, then we're better prepared. We can ask him and try to get your answer.
Those are the only. That's what I've got to say.
We'll do our best.
And I appreciate it. And thank you.
You're certainly welcome, sir. Thank you.
One quick question. How long have you lived in the neighborhood?
I've lived there since 2004. I lost my first house in there to a fire and then had to rebuild the whole thing.
And I know about that.
I went to the beach and come back and the house was going to burn.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Did you want to go ahead? No, you go ahead.
Okay. Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Sheila Vivar. I live at 217 Joanne Drive. From that house, it's like maybe a football field. So in the evening, we watch TV in the closer to there, the back room. Then you got the bathroom and the dining and the kitchen and so on. So we're in the back room. And all night, this starts all night, 7 days a week. You can time it. Quarter past the hour, going and coming. Quarter past the hour, going and coming. It starts about, well, it's dark now early, 4:15 so, and it goes on. This goes on. I finally go to bed. I'm early. A riser and I go to bed early. This goes on, it's at 10:15, it's still going on. So I don't know how late it goes on, I go to bed. This goes on every single night. As far as what the other lady was talking about, that walkway, it's at the end of Joanne Drive, and to the right of this path, it's what it is, it's a common area, I would call it. And this path is well traveled, not just the gentleman living in the house. I've seen little kids on bikes go through there. They probably live in those condos in the back. Mm-hmm. And where this path travels to is to Harris Teeter's grocery store, the Dollar General, Dollar Store, something in there, and a liquor store. And we see them come through there, too. My husband and I see them come through. They come through with their bags and stuff and whatever, and that's what they do. So this goes on all the time, and back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I've been only there since the end of July, and again, I'm with the other neighbors. If I knew this was there, I wouldn't have bought, and I don't have a little dinky home. I have a very expensive home, and I don't see our way out. We're too old to keep moving. My husband doesn't want to move anymore, but how long is this going to go? So something has to be done with the situation, what goes on up there. One night I was coming home, my husband and I, it's very dark. And I was pulling into Legion Road to go home. This guy was in the road. He was, I don't know if he was intoxicated or drugged, but I almost hit him. He's trying to walk up the street, wherever he's going, up Legion, but he's all over the road. He didn't know where he even was.
Was that near the house that it's been stated?
That first house on the corner.
Was it a drug house?
Yep, okay. Exactly.
But you don't know whether it was someone from this house or the drug house.
I just got around that, went up home, and I'm home.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Numerous? Okay.
You've heard about the safety issues. You heard about new people moving in. We didn't hear who's benefiting from this. Or these people, the recovery addicts and alcohol,
or
to me doesn't seem like. My question is, you had 20 some that on this side are in favor of it.
Mm-hmm.
These people do not live in our development. They do not what goes on. I don't know. I see two that live in the house. I don't know where the other five are. If you know. I don't see people. I see one car maybe 2 o'clock in the afternoon leave. Like I said, I'm around there a couple times a day. All depends, you know, see what's going on. They're out there standing. I don't know who works. I don't know who's supporting this system.
Now that was answered, I think, made by the preacher that came both of them.
The church. The church is a very little church. It's
He said that they would help with some. They get out and they work. Okay, so we heard that they were going to come and, you know, the time that they work. Now, that's what, well, you know, they're
that's what they said, okay.
Right. I'm only repeating, but
okay.
They did that. Like that one gentleman, he got up here, you know, he works, he gets home at, you know, at 4:15 or whatever, but he said he got home, he took his bath, he done this church thing, and then they have stuff to do. that he does. I mean, they all participated. That's what we were, that's what I'm going by, what was said, and that was, you know, backed up by the pastor, the board of trustees that there at that time. Supervisor probation at this time. So everyone has to be in by 10 p.m. They stayed that if you didn't hear it, unless they're working. And if they're not working, then you have to be in. And under on probation, you have to be. That I've researched that much. They got to be in. They're on the limit on that list. So
I'm not saying who I know or what I know. I know what a probation parole car looks like.
I'm saying that, but, you know, I've heard when somebody's out.
One gentleman leaves about 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, maybe he's working. Yeah. You know, he could be working a 2 to 9.
But we have never seen anyone come there. If anyone can stand up and say that they've come there to check on these people, I'd like to see what they look like. Because I see everybody going in, mostly when I, you know, throughout the day.
Right. Yeah. So you're pretty much down there, like, you're like, watch, you're making sure so you know.
Ask them. No, they can vouch for me.
Yes, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
You know, today I was around there 3 times, you're making what? Sure I was around the neighborhood 3 times.
Every day you go by there 3 times?
A couple times, yeah.
No, I'm.
And I look over. Yeah, I look over. I want to see who's in there.
But do you go all through the neighborhood and do that, or just this particular
area? I ride around the whole neighborhood,
All houses, and you stop. You go by every house 3 times a day in that neighborhood?
Yep.
The whole neighborhood?
Yep.
John Burton Manor?
Yep.
Every house in there?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And if, like they said, if we have to start taking cameras and pictures,
okay,
we're going to start doing it.
All right, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay. Oh, wait. Now he's there again. But last call. Is there any other opposition here and something that we have not heard? I don't want to, you know, nothing be repetitive. This is the last call. Come forward, ma'am, please. Then we're going to ask for a rebuttal.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
You requested.
Can you speak up?
I mean, I'll do it, but
Catherine Weinberg, 32 Sharon Drive.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Catherine, is here or can
you? Yes.
Thank you.
Yep. Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
I've lived here since 2009.
Uh-huh.
And I've known of this place. I thought it was already sanctioned. Already sanctioned. They had already got a permit to do so.
Right.
So I figure I can't do anything about it.
Uh-huh.
I just thought it was already approved.
Right.
And I have seen, first I used to wave and be friendly, and because I try to be friendly with everyone in the neighborhood.
Right.
Then I seen activity going on there that I thought was kind of strange. But I thought, well, it's all being run properly, I guess.
Okay.
Could you
expand on this activity?
Yes.
That you're
yes.
Right?
The ambulance was over there one night. I've seen state troopers over there. One day I went past. There was garbage all in the backyard. It looked like they had a fight with the garbage, and the garbage won. It was thrown all over the backyard. I thought, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
And then I am trying to remember everything. They were talking about them walking through. They walk through people's backyards. They don't just walk along the trails. They walk through people's backyards. There's a connections over in by next to Food Lion on Route 24. So they just go through people's backyards. Instead of using the road, they go through people's backyards. You know, they don't even, I don't know half of these people.
Right. Now, and can I say, now you, when you say they, are you speaking just primarily of the people in that house? Or
the people
in
that house,
park?
No.
Nobody else uses this pathway but
this
group?
I've just seen these men walk through there.
And they're all these men pertaining to this house?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And I've seen people sitting out in the front drinking beer.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, what am I going to do about it? This house has already been approved. What am I going to do about it?
Well, who told you it was approved?
I just presumed it was approved.
Oh, I see.
I presumed, okay. Because it was there. I thought it was all done properly.
Uh-huh.
I, okay. You know, I'm thinking, well, this was done properly.
Mm-hmm.
And then I find out it wasn't.
Right.
And because I seen these signs out in the front. And I said, I thought this was all approved.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? I went somebody in there, like, overseeing it. I just feel it's not, it's just, there's a lot of people in there. There's women in there too. I've seen them there. I've seen people, you know, I thought they weren't supposed to have women in there. But they're half
there, or are they just there?
They're congregating, and I presume they go in the house. I I can't be there 24/7. I can't be there 24/7.
Do
you? I don't think any of you gentlemen observe your neighbors 24/7.
I'm too busy to.
Me
know.
Too.
But
I do notice things, and I was concerned, very concerned.
I understand.
So, and there have been burglaries, but I can't say it has pertained to these gentlemen. I can't say that, but there has been.
Well, again, your feelings that it adversely is affecting the neighborhood.
Yes, yes. And
we have to get to the bottom.
Yes,
line.
And I just presumed they had got all approval, and there's really nothing I could do about it, and I find out otherwise. And I was just very disappointed that they didn't come and ask the neighbors, we're going to run something like this. What's your feeling about this? Nobody ever got the neighbors together and say, hey, we want to. I'm not a heartless person. Mm-hmm. I just want to. We would have been nice to include the neighbors and say, well, what is your feelings about it, I mean, if you come to people and explain things and try to get their feelings and how they feel about things,
right.
Well, they just did everything under the rug.
The neighbors maybe go to them? You all go, meet together? Didn't the neighbors think, well, maybe we should go to them, too? Did you ever approach them?
I always waved and said hi when I drove by, but, no, because I didn't think it was any of my business to stop and question them.
Oh, I didn't say it stopped questioning, but you just said, they didn't come to you all to let you know. But
well, I wasn't, we weren't starting a halfway house. They were. I think it's on their part to come to their neighbors.
Right.
I mean, if I was starting a halfway house, I would surely want to go to the neighbors and say, well, this is what I would like to start up, and what are your feelings about it?
Right.
We weren't starting a halfway house, but
right.
if I was, I would certainly have done that mm-hmm. to consideration of my neighbors.
Right. But the question I had.
Yes, but I mean, you have to see that I'm not going to. I just presumed,
right.
And that was wrong on my part to think that they had got approval.
You think they're doing a good thing, right? They're trying to do a good thing, but not.
They're
there.
Not running it properly. I really don't think they're running it properly.
Running the property or not there, not in that.
They're not there. There, it should be.
No, I mean not in that neighborhood. You're saying.
Oh, I really don't think it should be. There's an awful lot of children there now. With all these new people moving in, there's a lot of children.
Get out of every applicant.
There's a lot of children. There's the gentleman that lives there with his children right in the cul-de-sac has children in there. He was here the last time. Apparently, he couldn't make it.
Right.
But there are a lot of children. A lot of children now in this neighborhood. Before it was maybe a little bit more retirees, but now there's more and more young families moving in here.
Okay.
And you have to watch when you go through the neighborhood how carefully you drive, because children run out in the road once in a while, and you have to be
mm-hmm.
careful. I see cars zipping through there, and I'm saying, slow down. There are children in this neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
I'm mindful of that, I think, and I don't know if these people are mindful of that either. There's a lot of children that have moved in this neighborhood.
Okay.
And I do know my neighbors,
mm-hmm.
but I was friendly to them when they first came in. I would wave, but I thought, well, this is, what can I say? That's my feelings on this part.
Mm-hmm. Okay, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. Now, before we start rebuttal, I had a request that we take a recess for a few moments. Is it okay? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to recess the board for about 10 minutes to give everyone a chance to stretch before I start.